Designed by review EA14-102814DA, Floyd Center Mall renovations. The applicant is William Bailey of Waterleaf Architecture. The address is 2201 Northeast Lloyd Center. Stacy Monroe is our planner. Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you. Good evening. Here to present the renovations to the Lloyd Center Mall that includes some new retail floor area and improvements to pedestrian and vehicle access.
Thank you.
But this presentation needs more napkins.
High tech chimney devices there.
Temporary.
Okay. So a brief summary of the proposal is to infill a covered area in front of Macy's facing Multnomah to provide new single-level shallow retail area for some smaller vendors, to remove a portion of the elevated drive aisle in front of and alongside Macy's, again facing Multnomah, that connects the east and the west parking decks, to provide new pedestrian entries on the south facade, and to reestablish a prior entry on the east facade between Sears and Marshalls, to provide new storefront systems and facade treatments that include vertically oriented reclaimed wood panels and green wall systems and signage at the new and the existing pedestrian entrances, and provide some similar facade treatments to the parking garage access points on Multnomah and on the bridge at the north end. So to briefly acquaint you with the site, it's the Lloyd Center Mall. The zoning is central commercial with a design overlay. It's within the Central City Plan District, Lloyd Subdistrict. The maximum height here is 150. The maximum FAR is 6:1. It's also within the Lloyd Pedestrian District. The abutting streets are Multnomah and 15th and 16th. All three of these are transit access streets, with Halsey and 9th to the south, to the north and west, which are local service streets. As you can see in the zone map, the ownership includes the mall itself, as well as the surface parking lot to the south and the cinema property. But today's proposal just focuses on the mall itself. With a $5 million estimated project value, a Type 3 would be required. The approval criteria for the Type 3 would be the Central City Fundamentals and the Lloyd District Design Guidelines. A Central City Parking Review is not required or triggered. There's no modifications to actual parking spaces. And possible modifications to sign areas may be part of the reviews. That's kind of dark.
Can you get the lights, please?
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
That's really dark. I can't even read my notes. Thank you. The mall property is rather large. We're just focusing on the red area to the north, the actual mall. It excludes the buildings occupied by Sears here and Nordstrom's. Those are separate properties and not part of this proposal. It does include the cinemas and the surface parking to the south. That surface parking lot was improved, I think, 2 years ago or so in 2012 with walkways and landscaping. The mall was originally constructed as an outdoor mall, and then it was expanded and enclosed in the mid or early 90s. Today, the mall is a conglomeration of a lot of buildings, which vary in type, style, and design, but the primary materials are brick and concrete. Hold on, I need to adjust this.
I
So again, the improvements include upgrades to the vehicle and pedestrian access points. So I've gone through and I've highlighted or noted where they currently exist and where they're proposed. The diamonds represent access points to structured parking, and again, they're all existing. I think there's about 7 of them. And the blue arrows indicate vehicle access to surface lots or below grade parking. So as you can see, there are a lot of access points. Here are some images of what those access points to the structured parking look like. As you'll notice, some of the facades are adorned with signage and some decorative elements, as you can see here and down here, while others are not, just with the concrete. Those that do have signage and some kind of facade element are somewhat consistent in the materials and the colors, with a slight difference in design. Some of these garage entries are proposed to have the new facade treatment that we'll see later on. Others are not, and that's going to be part of the discussion items that I've highlighted. Here are examples of the garage entry facade treatments. These are proposed on both garage facades off of Multnomah, which is kind of the main access. These elements consist of the vertically oriented reclaimed wood with green walls, as well as a wood siding over a steel structure. And
can you speak into the mic, please?
And signage.
Thank you.
Sure. So in looking at the pedestrian access points, the red dots signify the existing points of access into the mall itself. The crosshatched here indicate the new ones that are proposed between the two buildings, Marshall's and Sears, and this is the new opening that's going to be created between the parking structure and Macy's. And these two with the checkerboard indicate additional mall entries from the parking structure. So they're not really visible. They're more internal to the mall rather than to the sidewalk. And these are some images of what those entry points look like. The one down here was difficult to capture, but that's the one that's angled on the corner of 9th and Multnomah. These are some images of what the new pedestrian entry elements would be. This is the one at Macy's. There's a parking deck here connecting. There is a bridge here connecting the west parking deck with the east, and that will be removed to kind of open up this slot, which you can see here. And there will be a new entry in the back, which you can see back in here, with a large green wall system on that internal wall. Sorry, you can't see all of it, but down here is the new entry that will be, the restored entry that will be down on the east facade of Macy's and Sears. Again, these facade treatments include the wood fascia elements and the green walls. The green wall is a discussion item as well. We want to consider its long-term maintenance and viability given the different locations proposed on the south facade here, as well as in this kind of on this east wall here down in this slot, as well as the size. The other element of the proposal includes to infill the area in front of Macy's under this deck here with retail. This is kind of an image of what it would look like. It'd be rather shallow, but it'd be intended for small vendors. And these are some examples of existing ground-level retail at the back of the sidewalk throughout the center. As you can see, there is a lot of variety. There's numerous types of storefronts, finishes, and colors. The bottom right down here is a fairly recent remodel that was approved through design review on the north wall on the east end facing Halsey. The new retail... Here we go. The other element is signage. here are some images of signage, the different signage that exists throughout the mall. There's some similarities, as you can see here. There's some channel letters, as you can see here. And there's some other facade elements that exist throughout the mall. This is just an example of showing the variety throughout the mall and how the new signage would hope to somewhat unify signage throughout the site. It's kind of cut off at the bottom here, but this is an example of the new signage, as well as this element over here. Another item of discussion is the size of the signage, given that this is a pedestrian district and it would be right at the back of the sidewalk. There's a maximum sign size of 100 square feet in this area, and by the dimensions provided on here, these signs could be, the way that this, the sign code requires signage to be calculated, these signs would be well up over 300 square feet in size. So that's another item for discussion. So you received this sheet here in your packets. I'll just briefly go through the items for potential discussion. Consistency in the visual cues that distinguish the pedestrian and the vehicle access points. A cohesion of proposed and existing finishes and elements throughout the property, such as storefront systems, green wall frames, lighting, and signage. Potential concerns with long-term maintenance and viability of green walls, given the size and the locations proposed. The appropriateness of the new large signs in this pedestrian district. And the integration of new retail and possibly future retail floor area for the mall. And that's the end of my presentation.
Any questions of Stacy? Any questions of Stacy? Okay, great. Go ahead.
Cap on there.
Afternoon. My name is John Thainer with Cypress Equities, 8343 Douglas, Dallas, Texas. And appreciate y'all's time this afternoon. We're very excited about the Lloyd Center. Cypress Equities is based in Dallas, but we own and develop retail real estate throughout the country and raised a fund this past summer to go acquire value-added retail opportunities, existing retail opportunities. And what that means, value-added, it doesn't mean distressed retail real estate. It means that the properties are operating to a profit. They are well-located. The bones, the structures in decent shape, but there's more that can be done. And the first asset that we acquired and focused on was the Lloyd Center, just knowing that what a special piece of real estate it is, infill Portland, the infrastructure, bones, access to transportation, the dynamics of what's going on in the surrounding neighborhood and the city in toll, really got us excited about the opportunity. But we knew it was a lot of work to be done. It was a sleeping giant, and it wasn't a giant that could be just gently shaken. It needed to be rocked around a little bit, and that's what we tried to learn. We met with staff early right after the acquisition this summer and make introductions and learn more about perception of the mall and what you know, initial ideas of what we were looking at. And we, the ice break, everybody kind of went around and went, what's your first impression or what is your earliest memory of Lloyd Center since it's been around? And some people said, well, I remember going to the skating rink as a kid, or I remember, you know, when it was open and it was freezing and I was going through the center of the mall before they enclosed it. And new to Portland, my first impression was when I pulled off 84, pulled up to the mall, and I didn't realize it was there until I got lost in the parking garage. I couldn't find the front door, and as everybody said, you know, get lost in the parking garage, then you kind of earn your stripes a little bit at Lloyd Center. So that was my first impression, and in recognizing the historical significance of the mall and some of the challenges. We set about to look at opportunities to rebrand and reposition the mall to make something not only new and exciting but also nostalgic and timeless. And to that end, we focused on things such as is opening the door, front door, having a new front door to the neighbor, surrounding neighborhood. There's a lot going on. There could be a lot more that's going on, particularly Holiday Park across the street. Such a great asset that rarely do you find something natural like that right at your front door, and we needed to recognize that and open the mall up to, as you saw the opening to Macy's. It's consistent with that. The other thing we saw with the changing activity along Multnomah, obviously the AAT project, it's under construction across the street. It's the neighborhood's going to change. There's going to be more people living there, more than just during the day working there. There's going to be a lot of activity along that street, and we wanted to focus on activating the mall to the exterior. And so with that, you know, we began to, with Bill and the Waterleaf team and other consultants, dig into how do we start this shake this giant up, and where do we focus our attention, and that's what the package that you see before you, some of the initial thoughts there, and I'll turn it over to Bill as we get into detail.
Good evening. I'm Bill Bailey with Waterleaf Architecture, 419 Southwest 11th, downtown Portland. I wanted to start with, Stacy went through and gave some orientation shots, but I think it's really important to go through and reemphasize some of the things that we're going to focus on. Again, this is early design advice request, and we're shy on the details, but we've got a great palette of existing materials, and it's our intent to take the best pieces of it and retain those and simplify. As Stacy mentioned, the mall was constructed in 1959 as an outdoor mall. It was 1989 that the cover was put on. That, again, spurred things because they added, they infilled basement parking with new retail space, and so that spurred additions onto the parking structures. And so some of the chaotic neighborhood or nature of those parking structures has to do with the concepts and the way they added on to the building in 89. As Stacy also mentioned in some of the earlier photos of the work that's gone on with the retail storefronts on the exterior and the sidewalks and those kind of things, those were actually implemented over the last 10 years, starting with Barnes & Noble, to start to orient elements of the mall out to the street. That was a recognition by the previous owner that the mall was too internally focused. And so a lot of what we're doing is taking some of those strategies and implementing those across. That's been that's come through in some of the design reviews. The latest one was last year. As we look at the site layout, we mentioned Holiday Park. The other piece we really want to talk about is the fact that this is a regional mall in an urban context. And so it has this dichotomy of having this regional draw, getting customers classically off the freeway and more locally off of the light rail and now the streetcar and the building up of density around it. One of the elements, the reason there's so much parking with this piece is that it's a regional draw and a regional market that it's calling to us. And so as we look at the character of Multnomah Street and the opportunity that Holiday Park gives, as well as the way that we draw in those regional customers off the freeway and off of the Lloyd light rail station, that south area, particularly centered on Macy's, became very, very important in our focus. It's one of these projects like, where do you start? And so the most focus that we have to show for you today is those starting pieces, looking at the Multnomah frontage. We also, in looking at Holiday Park and its connections to Holiday Park, is looking at how the mall is viewed through the park. These are important images as far as that pedestrian orientation and one getting to the park. Of course, this is going to be a great before and after picture. It's quite a dichotomy from these wonderful pedestrian park-like environments, and then seeing again how do you access this behemoth that's here, and so So as I mentioned, the parking is a critical component, but Cypress has also been working to extend and work into the neighborhood in exploring ways to program Holiday Park and to be a champion of programming Holiday Park. They've made connections with Portland Parks and Rec. They've had focus groups on park programming, a public process which the city has been involved in, Parks and Rec has been involved in, and is working with the neighborhood business groups to get synergy for Holiday Park that also works and ties into those parks that are being developed not only by AAT but down to the convention center and the other areas in the Lloyd District. So I'm going to make a quick drive-by around the perimeter going clockwise, starting with Multnomah. If I'm getting too long-winded or too redundant, just say move along, and if you're all familiar with it. starting with the what's essentially the Nordstrom's Plaza entrance, here we do have public art. We have a plaza, and we have dated entry elements. A lot of these entry elements are considered as visual noise, and it's our goal as we go through the process is to simplify these elements. It's been recently announced that Nordstrom's is closing their store here. One of the reasons I'm not showing you a lot of information regarding the Nordstrom's Plaza is I don't have a lot of information to show you because that is really in flux.
On the building.
Oh. Yeah, they're.
Do you think this Nordstrom's in the plaza as well? And I said no, they don't. They just own the building.
But they own the building.
Yes. Nordstrom's has a property line that grabs their building.
And this is a corner that's under construction right now.
We're standing on the AAT corner.
Is it New Seasons?
I don't know.
That's the
signage.
That's a New Seasons.
Okay. So that's right. The Big Lloyd Block project.
Okay. Working our way down Multnomah, this is the what we're calling the southeast parking structure. It's a two-story structure, doesn't go below grade. What does go below grade is the loading facilities for Lloyd Center. There's an incredible second city underground here at Lloyd Center that handles full-size trucks and those kind of things. We've done a number of studies on infill of this property or infill of this project. We also realize that this structure is probably a higher and better use for another time. Is parking on this side in 10 years, is that the best use for this? And so we're focusing on a lot of those areas that are definitely a long-term piece. And so if asking why aren't we filling in this parking structure with retail, the answer is it will come. We're taking those first steps and focusing on Multnomah. Macy's, over the years, Macy's used to have an entrance both on the mezzanine deck above and the lower deck that actually centered on the park. It's a shame it was closed off. It's still closed off with plywood. The idea now is that it's a great opportunity for smaller scale retail, coffee shops, neighborhood retail, those kind of things, particularly retail that would support the park. We're working with the transportation group in Lloyd to open up discussions about a mid-block pedestrian crossing that works with the symmetry of Holiday Park across to Macy's. Again, back to looking west now, still on Multnomah, looking at that entrance. That entrance is the first impression as one comes off the freeway that John was talking about. Again, it's as we're looking at that regional customer, we have a need and a desire to get them off the street as quickly as possible and into the parking structure because it is a straight shot right off of the I-84 exit. Sears is one of those anchors that owns their own land underneath their building. So they've got a flag lot in that that anchors that. So we're not proposing any changes to the Sears anchor. However, we will be doing some great encouragement, inviting them along to some of the projects coming up.
And that's their corner too, Bill, the parking lot, that little loading
yeah.
area?
Yeah, well, actually, that's managed by Lloyd Center because there's an underground loading bay that is Lloyd Center's that comes through. They really do kind of have a flag lot. So Stacy actually had that property map earlier that showed its piece.
And there's no CC&Rs dictating how these separate tenant or separate owners, Sears and Nordstrom, stop.
There are tons of access easement agreements.
In terms of design guidelines or standards for the actual
physical. Actually, we have to get Sears approval for things that are affecting their frontages.
Okay.
This is the vacated 15th Avenue right-of-way. While it's an intersection and a signaled intersection, it's now part of the Lloyd Center property when 15th was diverted onto 16th to go by the cinemas to the west, or to the east, I'm sorry. And so this is actually an internal circulation now. This is looking from the northeast with the Marshalls and the Sears anchors. Also note how that these are big box blank facade entrances, and we're looking at the anchors in a separate way as far as encouraging those to get opened. Cap Reef does own the Marshall's anchor, and we're looking at separate elements for the storefronts and opening those up to the streets.
And did that weird S-curve, when did that weird S-curve happen to get around the abandoned? Do you
recall when 16th was put in? So probably around when the mall was improved?
As a result of the abandonment of that I used to go straight through right there?
Yeah, it used to go straight through. What 16th does now, and it doesn't have any curb cut entrances on the Lloyd Center side, it's turned into an arterial without all of the visual or the pedestrian or vehicular challenges that 15th offered at the time. It's interesting enough, these two parcels in front of Sears and Marshalls are the only parcels that do have a mandated residential component in the zoning. So as those were to get, if those were to get developed, there's a residential requirement in those. The north facade, this is, again, northeast side. This is an earlier photo before the Ulta improvements were that we went through design review last year. And this is what it is currently. So we did the first steps of opening this blank facade up. While mall tenants like to have one entrance off the mall, we're at least getting displays and storefronts and those kind of things opened onto the streets. We also have an approved design review for improvements of the entry, but as we get to that, that entry has some modifications from that approved design review. Looking further down, coming down Halsey, the bridge structure that was done in, I think, 2002, the fan element was, and that was done with the development and redevelopment of the blocks to the north that used to be part of the ownership of Lloyd Center but now is a separate ownership. That bridge is a loading function. The trucks go up the ramp in front of Dollar Tree behind a screen and across the bridge to serve the upper level of food court. It's a very complex machine. The northwest parking structure is characterized by concrete block, split-face concrete block infills and steel railings, and no retail on the ground floor. There is a corner art element that was part of the arts program when it was built. As well as other elements there. As you can see, this picture, the trees kind of obscure that element. Nordstrom's again. Nordstrom's is characterized, you can see it was done with the later design guidelines with articulation in the ground floor and at least articulation in the level above ground floor to start building those visual interest and shadow lines and those kind of things when it was built. You'll also notice that there's a bridge structure across now to the Lloyd Tower, and they have a direct entrance into Nordstrom's. So I was talked a little bit about the materials here, the best and the worst. In many cases, we've actually been able, and the Ulta storefront is one of those, that we've actually been able to take things like precast terrazzo columns and polish them up and make them shine again. The brick is good. Macy's is characterized by precast panels on the south side, and then mosaic tiles. And you can see almost every era of remodel represented in these images. As we look at new images on the lower right is that precast column that we polished and restored from the original construction. It's taking those elements, those jewels, and carry those back through the redesign. One of the elements that inspired the vertical wood components is the fact that there is this corrugated language with the corrugated precast spandrels on the parking structures and in other places, and then incorporating materials that go with the brick. So just jumping in, and this is just a straightforward route through the design review package that you have on your desk. This is that approach from 13th as you come off the freeway. And so our intent, of course, is to have a visual cue that this is where you park. It's a sign to the cars. We understand it's a pedestrian environment, and other pedestrian scale signage is would be appropriate at the retail and pedestrian levels. We feel that we do need to make a bigger, bolder statement at those access points. And same with the 11th Avenue side. This image is starting to now look at the how we cleave into both the parking structure and one of the retail structures. Stacy mentioned that we're adding retail. We're actually, we'll be lucky if we have a net zero in the retail with this proposal, because what actually happens is we're cutting a piece of the retail block of the mall back in a 45-foot plaza area all the way into the ice rink. And the idea is to start having that transition space that may be more green, more growing towards its relationship to the park, and then to activate it with restaurant and pedestrian activities as we get closer to the mall.
Can I just ask you a quick question about that slide? What is the green? Yeah. What are you thinking the green is?
Well,
on the floor,
right now it's just representing a different material. It's going to be a hard surface.
Right.
Like I described before, a lot of these areas are over structure, boiler rooms, and loading docks, and all of that behind the scenes stuff. And so, while we have more flexibility with on grade, with planters and green stuff out to the street level,
right? I assumed it was going to be a hard surface.
Yes. Yeah.
The drawings were difficult because stuff wasn't called out.
Right, and
so that's the question.
And that reflects the level. I mean, that we are starting out, and we wanted to get to you early.
You
so
think it's going to be something growing, but then I saw people walking on it, so I was like, it probably isn't.
Anyway. Yeah. And so so as we get into we were talking about creating, and some of this gets actually reminiscent into some of those pieces that were lost into the history of the Lloyd Center. The spiral staircase was a signature piece. My partner in the office has his senior class at Grant High School taking their picture on the stair at Dick. And it's those kind of things that are starting to bring back some of those memory things as we get into some of the interior design and the way we work with the interiors. The Marshall's Sears entrance, again, this actually has a well in between because there used to be auto access off of 15th, a tunnel that went down in there, and the public was able to park below. So there were storefronts on both Sears side and the Marshall side, and it would be our intent to start to restore those. While this doesn't show it coming down to on the east side, we would encourage that to be on the east side as well. Like I say, we have more control over the Marshall side than the Sears side, so we weren't able to show much commitment there, but we're going to encourage them to join our party. Pardon?
Is there a stair now?
No, there's not. There's a big hole in there that has these, actually they're interesting planters that are inverted pyramids that are suspended in the hole. You'd have to have an OSHA tie-off to maintain the plants, but it's our intention is to make that a pedestrian plaza to fill in the hole, because right now it's just loading dock underneath.
So the two changes here are create a pedestrian plaza, open up the Marshall's south elevation, and then that's an entry point?
Yes, we would. This is actually, well, the mall is three levels. This is actually on the second level. We call it the Halsey Street level. Multnomah Street level is a floor below. The Halsey level, and so this is where the previous one is a three-story entrance, this is a two-story entrance. Again, our design challenges are very tight, narrow spaces. Let's see. And here, as the Lloyd entrance on the north, taking that same branding and carrying it through and entrances specifically. Stacy talked about, and I think she pointed out about 9 dots. We actually have more like 15 entrances once you go into all of the parking structures to rebrand. This is the bridge with the Halsey Street entrance. Again, design intent is to open up the transoms as far as we can on the entrance and simplify the bridge with and kind of clean up the visual materials, the palette of materials. This is a typical entrance that's not readily visible from the street, but is demonstrative of what we would be doing at the other entrances. Again, taking the same palette of materials, opening up the storefronts with transoms, bringing light, more light in, and auto power doors. This is the one entrance off of Multnomah that is the entrance into the mall. Funny enough, that there was a poll done, and the two major entrances that customers use at Lloyd Center are Macy's West and Macy's East. Even the Nordstrom's Plaza entrance and all the other entrances combined didn't meet the numbers of pedestrians that came into Macy's.
So from the mall?
No, from the street.
The so, west and east from
yeah, the from the parking structures in, those Macy's entrances are the primary entrances to the mall.
Yeah, 40%.
Well, it's right in the middle.
Yeah.
Is this one where there's a water feature there to the
right? Yeah, there's, this one has the salmon art with the illuminated glass panels behind and that kind of thing. We would retain that and augment it and then essentially bring retail branding in this area. Again, a lighter, not as reflective as you're seeing, but a lighter floor finish, uplight the ceilings and open up the entrance storefronts. Another typical, this entrance is actually right above the one you just saw in the parking structure. And, that's in your package, but it missed my slide presentation. So those are the core components that we're talking about in the design, and we do have just some ideas throwing out for both the recycled wood material as well as the green wall. We recognize, and we're working with GreenWorks landscape architects in town because we've been studying the green walls and we've seen a lot of bad examples a year after they're installed. And so that we have an understanding of the of what it takes to maintain them. What is the actual green story as you change out the plantings, the irrigation systems that's required to maintain these? They're wonderful pieces of texture, and we're working to get the right green wall in the right place. And so we recognize there's challenges with that. So
is the last sheet that you had, is you're going towards more of a vine system?
Actually, it's probably more of a containerized system.
Okay.
Because, like I say again, as we look at the maintenance, and there's actually a cut sheet on whether they're containered or vined or those kind
yeah,
of things, we're still, it's we're trying to balance. That's one of the issues that we're challenged with, is to achieve the richness and the texture and the image of the green wall. We're challenged to find whether that is an appropriate response in this application.
Yeah.
And so we'd love your feedback on that as well. Again, we've had a chance to do a little more visioning since the deadlines to submit the application, and so some of these things we're going the next steps on looking at the infill of the retail in front of Macy's, the possibility of encouraging, say, a terrace restaurant for Macy's to develop on the abandoned vehicular right of a platform above, working through one of the pieces in here, I described using the best elements of the mall. It's this cantilevered entrance that's the canopy that's there, and it's that one you see in the background. It's actually a very thoughtful and creative element that we've all come to admire, and it has this appearance to float and cantilever. The flagpoles are actually helping in the smoke and mirrors element of that. The flagpoles are actually structural. And so those kind of things that, again, retain some of those components that people recognize. The flagpoles were important to the Lloyd family when they had the facility and operated the facility from the beginning. And the idea of the bridge coming across to serve the existing Macy's second floor, those kind of lacy elements through. But again, with the intent to simplify, clarify, and bring back some of the mid-century modern clarity to the design components.
What was the reason for that opening in that canopy build originally? Why is it shaped like that?
On the furthest side, the north side, it's covering entryways. On the south side, there is a fire door that's not shown in my rendering, and then originally there's a staircase under that. So that canopy over there is protecting the staircase underneath.
The opening before 1991, there was a planter underneath, so we turned that into an arch.
There are a lot of those cutaways in the old mall. This is where there was...
Yeah, it was actually kind of this lacy components with different canopies over different areas, as particularly walkways, and only over those areas that it was protecting. So it's very utility in their design, but they did some very elegant, clean, simple pieces that are often very hard to achieve, and just now we're starting to appreciate them. So that essentially is the presentation we have. As we were meeting with Tim, of course, he said, well, let's get whatever you have, get it as early as possible, bring it before Design Commission and do the early design advice. The reason for the price tag exceeding the Type 2 to Type 3 has a lot to do with the demolition and the build back of this cleave into the piece, because most of the work that's been done to date has been through a Type 2 process on a piecemeal piece. But because all of these need to go together, we wanted to make sure that we came to you for design advice.
All right, questions?
I have kind of a theoretical philosophical question that I think will feed into understanding what you're doing with the mall a little bit better. You spoke of this as a regional mall, and I'd like to know, I mean, it was once. I guess I'm questioning whether it's really a regional mall. Is it a regional mall in an urban setting, or is it a shopping experience and a collection of activities that are in the heart of an urban district that are more neighborhood? I mean, you're the draw. You probably know who's coming from where. And I mean, is somebody coming from Gresham?
Yes, we ran a we've run a couple of different online surveys, customer intercept surveys, really to define who is our customer.
Yeah.
Throughout when we initially bought the mall, we were happy to give you more details, but they come. It is truly regional. They come from, you know, several miles away, 20 plus.
And you think that's the future for the mall as well?
Well, I think that it's a combination of the two examples you said. I think the future is going to change because of what's going on in the neighborhood, that it's going to be an experiential, it's going to be a neighborhood gathering place. And I think, as Bill alluded to, especially the retail along Multnomah, as that comes, that's going to be more activated. Obviously, we've got the super block across the street, and that will be, you know, as we're in early stages of figuring out what to do with that, and certainly we're looking to keep everything consistent and connected, but that'll be an outpouring of how that neighborhood changed. We envision a mixed-use product, mixture of uses in that product.
Yeah.
Yes, is it regional? Yes, it is regional. We have the data to back that up. Will it be transitioned into something more? Yes, it will transition to something more.
Yeah, that's what I suspect, too. And so I think that's I asked that question just because I think it is an underlying foundational issue about what you're trying to do, which is brand this place as a place and have people know where to enter and all of that. I get that completely. The question is, you know, how that branding and that identity relates to the ongoing transition of this facility into the future to be potentially more neighborhood-based and less regional.
Getting busier because more people are coming from the neighborhood, but you still get the draw from
the region. You'll still get the region.
More, and it's the same way that downtown is both now, because people live there, a neighborhood and a regional draw. I mean, there's a lot to do down there. There's a reason to go down there, and Lloyd Center may have more of a reason to be there. So you get the combination.
It's funny because 30 years ago, I grew up in Eastern Washington. My grandparents would take us to Seaside every summer, and we'd stop at the Lloyd Center to get our school clothes. Mm-hmm. It was a big deal.
Yes.
To the Lloyd Center.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There weren't as many options back then.
Yeah,
that's right. That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
Is that originally it was an outpost? I remember I grew up on the West Side, and going to Lloyd Center was a big deal. It was far away, but we have in Portland, we're seeing the rebirth of virtually every single neighborhood with its own retail. We're seeing, you know, although there are places like Bridgeport or you know, other locations that are seeing a revived Clackamas, yeah, right. There still is, within the inner city, there is this kind of growing vine that's connecting everything. So I'm just asking.
Well, you're at the question, since you asked them your question. How does their response change, whether it's a regional destination or a more localized in your mind?
That's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering about.
Is there a difference in what they would want to do, or?
I get the, you know, from a broad sense, the design and the intent, the green, the wood. That's all very, you know, now it's Portland, but the scale may be more suburban and more regional, and so. But you still got to get people in. You have to see where to move the car, you have to announce what the place is. But I don't know. I'm just throwing this out.
You were headed with it, or at least what I got out of it was partly if it's not regional and people are more neighborhood, then the car becomes less important.
Well, that's
over time.
Yeah.
Then you start to replace the parking garages along the perimeter.
Well, and they're orienting themselves not just to the park, but to the LRT as well, which is right across on the other side of the park. So those kind of ways of reaching out to the region via light rail as opposed to the automobile is completely right on, you know, so a streetcar on the other side and all of that stuff. So
and that, David, leads me to a question. Is the development and design team, are you guys going to start with a master plan, like you mentioned, Bill? It addresses the what 10 years from now for the development team will be, and then back into these parts so that in the end they're all working together. So rather than kind of going at piecemeal, 5 million.
Here's an entry. Yeah.
Yeah. You have a 75 million, and then you have 5 million this round.
Well, you know, in the development business, we always have to look at start with the end to kind of work our way back, and certainly we recognize that there's definitely some long-term elements of this. Also mentioned it was a sleeping giant, and you know, the old adage, how do you eat an elephant? One piece at a time. There are so many. I mean, you could just focus on just this entryway right here, and you could spend a significant amount more money and a significant amount more time. But again, we feel there's some key elements that this mall, there have been, you know, over the years, there have been plans, and for whatever reason, market conditions, whatever, they haven't come to fruition. And we see that we've got a great opportunity with the neighborhood changing, with all this activity going, to really kickstart this off. And we think that these components are essential to kick that off, having a clear front door. That connectivity, you know, having some consistent branding elements that are going to continue out throughout the project. We feel that this is a great jumping off point for us, and we understand that everything's going to have to fit together. We're going to have to connect to the park. We're going to have to connect to the superblock. We're going to have to connect to the east.
Have you stepped back and looked at all the holdings and all the streets and the current developments in the ground and said, oh, when we build housing on this site, it will go here. When this parking is no longer valid and we can decrease our parking because we don't need it, we'd rather energize it by either building more commercial or office use. Have you done that? And I don't want to say master plan, but I mean, have you done that?
Yeah, we've looked at preliminary items. Yeah. You know, obviously the Nordstrom deal is a new development, and you know we're working on that, and that's something that's probably in the more near future than the super block per se. But again, I think it's where do you begin, and where are you going to get the most bang for your buck, and where are you going to get that activation, and that's.
I think what Tad, if I can, for experimenting for a second, because I'm kind of on that same page.
Yeah.
It's like right now what we're seeing in your package and what we're hearing is a stage that I would think comes a little bit further down the path. The part I'm not seeing yet or hearing about or understanding with your process is, what have you looked at holistically? You go up to the 10,000-foot level and they say, what does not work about the way that this center is set up in this urban context, in this physical space, place, adjacency, transportation systems. These first two items on your discussion items list, consistency with visual cues for pedestrian versus vehicles, and the cohesion of proposed finishes and elements. The first one, to me, is a more global, big picture topic, which I think your challenges are not necessarily finishes and branding, but how do you communicate those visual cues to people around this project site, where you're getting a global sense of entry points. Like, right, you're putting some lipstick on existing locations where you have ingress and egress into the building, but that location doesn't relate at all to the surrounding, to the parking, to the systems around the site, right? So I think you're kind of stumbling your way to some of these.
Are you saying that, you know, I mean, maybe they have. They tested and examined where existing entrances were versus potential new ones were, and then landed on the at least the automobile entrances staying where they are pretty much.
Well, and I think we have looked at and even before Cypress acquired the mall, we've studied elements too, and we've shared that when we came on with Cypress, as far as I described how that southeast garage is clearly not the highest and best use for that property. So there have been a number of concepts and ideas on what to place there, whether it's hotel concepts, office concepts, retail, mixed use housing. Those we have looked at those components and again with the Sears parcels to the east, and absolutely on the super block to the south. Some of those things informed us as to where to start, as far as what do we put the cosmetic elements that help wayfinding now and get the prioritizing in it clear that what we're doing with our major statements that are designed to survive the evolution of the other portions of the mall. I mean, what you're seeing there is the first priorities.
Sure. I guess I would ask.
Let me cut to the chase just for a second.
Yeah. Right.
I want the whole place to look like this.
Yes, we do too.
It's well lit.
Yeah.
It's got 1 foot in the old modernist tradition. It's amped it up a little bit. It's transparent. It looks safe. It's lit. This is killer. Mm-hmm. There's no wood here. There's no green wall here.
It's on the
green wall.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can't see.
Just okay. On the other side of the.
But you're saying is we're using the best parts and components of that original structure.
This is timeless.
Yep.
And the wood in the green wall is attractive, but it's also 2011.
Yes.
So the question is, if you're looking at how to make this more vibrant, maybe a longer view in terms of what you're trying to connect to the neighborhood, where the transit is, what the neighborhood's becoming, where, which parking lot you're going to give up and do housing on, and all of that would help you think more permanently in terms of your identity.
To build on that, this isn't in the first phase, right? So what you'll create is this wonderful thing, so flanked by two parking areas. And so I wonder about...
Actually, that may be in the first phase. Maybe. We just can't commit to it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess what I would emphasize that I would emphasize, forget the north side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The south is your primary. Get a new face over the whole south, as much as you can on that south, and say, here's a complete picture of what we're going to do eventually. Instead of spreading it out a little thin everywhere, is really make a statement.
Maybe you do lights and paint at the other thing.
I think that's what you were seeing. I mean, some of the entrance improvements were...
Trying to save you some money.
Well, lighter on the north side.
Well, they're saving money, and then there's establishing at least a consistent identity.
Right.
Some of those...
But the identity could be an invitation that is well-lit and is gracious. It may not be a material or a logo. You may be inviting people come to a place instead of coming to a trend.
Well, you talked about how important the park is, and that retail you just showed is directly across from that park. So if you really want to strengthen that
beacon
connection,
right?
And with people being out and that pedestrian, you're transforming. That's probably the most
transformative piece.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And the easiest piece to kind of put together as a pedestrian realm with the park across from it and the Mac stop right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just looking through the whole park and that whole elevation at the lower level being, retail and pedestrian and welcoming, and then that thing, pulling you in. It's just...
It's a great draw.
I think that would be really transformative.
And with Nordstrom's leaving, you need help on the south side anyway.
Yeah, then you work
I mean,
on
you,
the,
you need to convince somebody that corner's going to be where it's at. And
for me, I think what I was suggesting when I just said the master plan, if we could see what you were saying that you've already done, Bill, because it would be great to see the movement of the city of Portland around this enormous faceless mall to see where you guys are arriving at these decisions to put those to accentuate these points, because as everybody's been saying, if you put an apartment building across the street or mixed use, it may alter how this occurs. Mm-hmm. So just to have your own, so we can see it, just the thinking. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to design the building across the street, but so if that street lands here and there's an avenue, maybe it shutters this whole thing a little bit. And it would be nice just to have the big picture, then start to go into the wood trim detail.
Whether it's ferns or vines.
So, and I think without the big picture circulation, where the light rail is, where the park is, where people come in, that study you guys did of the two Macy's, I'm really curious, why are they coming at those two locations? What is it about the weird kind of circular drive pattern that drives those people into there, and they're ignoring the other eight entries? So it'd be interesting just to know that.
Yeah.
And then I think that'll inform, like Tad says, like then you start to understand why you're doing it. And it's a 30-year picture as opposed to a 6-year kind of solution.
Well, we haven't shown you the tools to evaluate that. I mean, you need to come back with a diagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We want the bigger picture.
Bubble diagram showing where the energy centers are, where the future development will be, what that big, huge parking lot of the cinema is going to end up looking like.
Right.
Because that'll totally change this, in my opinion, or could change this.
Because we will, I mean, we'll be back with that and all of that.
Right.
So. Yeah. Well, and just to the west, that the new, the Lloyd blocks, right? Mm-hmm. You've got, I don't know how many units in that. So you've got 700 units worth of residents, on that same street, right? So it's like, okay.
So where are they coming
from? If you're not going to do that southwest corner right away, then at least something down that street would
be ties it all together.
Well, yeah.
I have a card, and if there's some, if is Kyle Johnson still here?
Yeah.
Oh, God bless you. Come on up.
So, hello. My name is Kyle Johnson. This is my first design review meeting I've ever been to.
Hello, Kyle.
I made the mistake of rushing over here at 1:30. So I'll try to make this very brief. I live.
Take your time.
Yeah.
All right.
I live in the condo that's facing the northwest parking garage, and one of the issues that we've faced in the building is the sound from the parking garage, and sort of the echo from that sound sort of hitting the building, and so. We in the Lloyd Park building are very excited about these improvements and making it more pedestrian friendly. And one of the things that we would just like to sort of recommend in the future is some sort of noise barrier on that parking garage there would really benefit our building.
Right.
Sorry, can you orient us where your building is in relationship to the mall?
Yeah, it's on 10th and Halsey. Oh,
okay.
So and so it's side. Directly across from the northwest parking garage.
Right, the big kind of structured.
Yeah, the three-story.
All the way back to the beginning.
The helical ramp is
here. Yeah.
The shopping bag.
So
that's what that is on the outside.
Yeah, the northwest corner.
Yeah.
And then that little white building is ours.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have worked, and we are in communication with the mall about sort of reducing some of their cleaning noise, because that can get pretty loud, and it's all night long. So.
Oh, my. Yeah.
And then also, I think that it'd be wise to look at more of the, talked a lot about transit in the couple hours that I've been here, and pedestrians, but there hasn't been a lot of talk about bicycling, mm-hmm. and I think that this neighborhood especially, in the last census, 10% of all people, their primary mode of transportation was bicycles. And so I think that as this mall becomes much more of a neighborhood connector, connecting with those bicycle riders mm-hmm. will be really important,
yeah.
especially along that Multnomah Street, which just became
become a great
bicycle
yeah.
buffered bike lane.
Yeah. Good.
So, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you need any Clif Bars or fruit?
Yeah, if you need any accessories.
Nourishment.
Yeah, you deserve a medal.
Yeah, totally.
5-hour wait.
It's a safe piece. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Great.
I would just add that we believe with agree with Kyle on the bicycle. In fact, we committed to participate in the share ride program, which I know is still being worked out, but we agree that would be a component of this program. repositioning program.
Okay, great. And then so on that site plan to see where bikes come from, where that circulation is, what the, you know, even that count, because I think it'll just help inform you guys on where the entries are and what they look like.
Maybe there's a specific bike entry that is where you welcome people on bikes in a way that you don't welcome cars and peds, and you make it special and cool, and they end up in a, you know, great place to lock
covered,
up their bike.
Covered bike parking with the locker to leave
make
your
it a thing.
And,
Portland.
That kind of thing.
It is a design challenge. Those are the nine worst entries I've ever seen.
It's an ugly elephant. When you approach that mall, it is always the lesser evil.
It's our elephant.
Picking the lesser
it's your elephant.
Well, I didn't realize how bad it really is in need of major changes until I went through this.
When you walk
because you just drive in, and I don't even look at the building. Right. I'm just looking for a parking spot. Right.
I actually look now more at that building than I go into it. And it's just such a bunker, and it's just this carbuncle in the middle of this neighborhood that has so much potential, and it's just like the black hole. So I mean, it's people are enlivening the inside of it, and it's being well used and all of that. But from a pure urban design standpoint, it's a nightmare. So
and I was wondering, on the big picture, have you Cypress looked at opening up portions again? I mean, you know, the trend seems to be open malls,
open air.
And I'm wondering if in these super blocks, have you thought about that? I know that's a little above $5 million, but
right. When we were in early Charette's, we toyed with that, and it was quickly value engineered out of the equation.
So based on what you said, Tad, about the materials, the wood and the green wall, I was trying to piece together from your narrative that you talked about. Materials proposed for use include reclaimed wood fascia elements blended with green wall techniques. Building on the original mid-century modern details uncovered in portions of the mall, the intent is to provide a rich texture to contrast the brick and concrete with the existing mall materials. I guess I'm trying to resolve in my own mind how wood and which has its own set of issues, particularly, you know, exposed to the elements, and green wall with the modernistic roots of the mall and to really, you know, one is about kind of stereotypes of Oregon, you know, wood and green and versus this very particular site. Because any mall can Clackamas has big totem poles and anybody can claim the green and the wood, but this one has such a rich heritage of 50s modernism, 60s modernism. And you're actually accenting and highlighting one of the what you talked about as one of your favorite kind of details left over from that era. I just wonder about that as a departure point for to really make it distinctive here where no one else can claim that per se.
I would agree with that, and to build on it, my concern, you know, and I look at the packet, the inspiration pictures with the wood, so many of those images were inside. They were not high traffic. They were they're outside. They were undercover.
Right.
And I'm concerned about the, you know, I know you can treat the you know, the Dickens out of wood and make it so that it lasts a long time now, and I know you can do that, but it, you know, it's a combination of weather and just how urban this neighborhood is and how much kind of abuse a building can take. Right. And it felt like these elements felt too innocent to be put out there on the edge of Lloyd Center in some ways, you know. Exactly. they won't last a week out there. So, I mean, I had concern for the wood, I guess. Yeah, I mean, it's nice, it's warm, it's tactile, it has some great qualities to it, but I, better angels, you always want to believe people treat things better than they do, but they don't.
I have equal concerns about the green walls, just having done with Tomodera and just, you know, that's a fairly protected place, and I think they're so prone to vandalism if anybody can actually touch them, because you can push things in, you can pull things out. And just the potted plants get so much abuse. And they're expensive. You know, they're like $200 a square foot. And they just require a ton of maintenance constantly on a biweekly basis. So I would just, you know, if you use them, I'd use them very judiciously. And where people can't get their hands on them, I guess that would be my advice.
It may be more related to Jane, too. I agree with you. instead of related to kind of the street, that they're related to more where people are, like your courtyard.
Kind of see them.
That area seems to me to make sense because it's more intimate, more protected.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So wherever there's an opportunity to kind of define an entryway where people are going to be not in their cars.
I think I like your logo. I think it's very sharp, you know, and maybe... Maybe there's something with just the logo at those entries, you know, that just says enter and has the logo or something, as opposed to making, you know, trying to do a branding statement. I keep going back to the branding should be the invitation, not the stamp. Have you done a full branding exercise with a branding company or, I mean, that's where the logo came from?
Cash, correct.
Did the wood in Greenwall come from that too?
The wood. There was some wood. In fact, we didn't have wood.
Where are they located?
The branding group?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a group we work with out of Dallas.
Okay. That makes sense.
Hey.
Well, I'm just...
it's drier.
I say that from experience because...
Because you're in Texas.
I lived in Texas, yes.
Yep.
But it's kind of the first option that people grab onto. And that's why I said kind of a stereotype about Oregon. And... I think you have so much more opportunity here than that.
Yeah, I agree.
And to really brand yourself in a unique way, what isn't unique? I mean, it is us for sure. It's Oregon, but it's kind of overplayed in many ways.
As you know it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you all agree or no?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
I mean, the wood thing works on an interior. You know, when it warms up the interior. You know, in a tavern or a restaurant or whatever. And
yeah,
I kind of think it's kind of silly when it comes outside. But but I also think it's about the scale and what the invitation is.
Yeah.
And is that invitation urban or is it suburban? So that's why I was asking all about the regional notion, because I feel like my sense. I have this part of me that thinks, okay, it's a regional mall, therefore it needs a suburban presence. And I don't think that's what this is. It may be a regional mall, but I think it needs an urban presence.
Are you saying from a signage standpoint it needs suburban branding?
No, that's my point, is that it's a regional...
It's suburban. Okay.
It's a regional mall,
but
that doesn't mean it's a suburban place.
Right. Well,
you got 700 people living across the street.
They're that donut concept.
Right.
Well,
they're coming,
Let me pose this. I mean, one of the elements that is inspiring some of the wood, and particularly the vertical wood, is the channeled and corrugated precast concrete. And to start to interpret that in a different material, of which I think wood is completely appropriate for, and starts to draw a connection between the new and the old. Yes, the billboard backdrop may not be appropriate, but to use the wood in a modern fashion, in a clean fashion, like the vertical slats, I think can have a place on the exterior and use... judiciously, I guess, is what.
And my response to that is I'm just concerned about it. And I think I think it could be used judiciously, potentially. I'm concerned about it when it starts getting into the touch zone. And one of the things that flashed in my mind when I was looking at it is, and of course your intention is not this at all, but when you look at all of the, and why the master plan is important, when you look at all of the layers of kind of stuff that's been applied to this black hole, this kind of fortress, and how unsuccessful they've been, you know, I just hate to see this wood element become this thing that doesn't stand the test of time and becomes another layer of stuff applied to a thing. And so, again, it's that master plan. It's the where are we going with this? It's what is this? What is the real character of this place going to become?
Well, the other thing about the observation I had about, particularly at the garages and the big ones, are they're kind of all up at the top. Is there any?
Can you make them?
There's no integration to kind of pull it down and, you know, from a start with the pedestrian and then work up.
Maybe. I was thinking the same
instead
thing,
of
David.
Top
down,
work bottom up, and say what would that? Because if particularly on the south elevation, you're trying to create more pedestrian oriented experience, then start there and work your way up. How does that relate in some manner? Because it's right now. It's still that. That billboard.
Other than a billboard, it could be a gateway. It could be an arch. It could be something that you actually travel through
And then you wouldn't have that signage size problem.
Right.
Because it becomes a facade as opposed to a sign.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, they all seem...
And I just think when people come here, they get loaded down with bags. And so it really all has to be about pedestrian experience. And this is one place where I think you just have to have cover everywhere. If it's open, it's just you still have to make it so that people feel comfortable here, you know, buying all their Christmas presents, whatever they're doing, and they're in a protected environment.
I mean, for the last month, we've been – I'm waterlogged myself. I don't know about you all, but – my house is just...
I know.
Anyway, it's...
why the mall was covered in the first place.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I can remember how cold it was.
Yeah, it's covered for a very good reason, right?
Yeah. You
know? Yeah, but it was cool.
It was so cool.
Cool and wet.
Plant those cold and planters cold with the benches and the open to the... Oh, it was very cool.
Yeah. One other question I had is particularly an area at that kind of north of Marshall's, that parking lot and that edge... The sidewalks there are actually very unsafe. I mean, they're very narrow. Are you, as part of your master plan, are you thinking of maybe integrating landscape, widening sidewalks, so the experience on that edge, or all the edges where those where the parking surface parking lots are now, that there's a different kind of relationship between that and the buildings, at least in the short term? Yeah. I guess that's not really a surface lot. There's parking under it, isn't there?
Yeah.
Is ramps down so
yeah far. It goes down
yeah it's just really I've gone through that entrance a couple times and it's like this is really awkward because people are kind of walking kind of parallel and then they drift over and then cars are coming from all over the place and
it's talking it's, next to the Barnes and Nobles
no to the northeast corner
okay where yeah. we're Ulta and Marshall's
yeah Marshall's yeah
okay
right
there
to the right.
Over, yeah, like
yeah, right there. That whole elevation right there.
Yeah,
that's a very narrow sidewalk. And
like I say, one of the challenges on this, and we did go through with Tim about 10 years ago to deal with the non-conforming parking lots. And the issue is this surface lot is actually a three-story parking structure.
Right.
Yeah.
So integration of landscaping and buffers and those kind of things is very challenging in a feasibility manner, especially when there is drive aisles even underneath the streets and those, even the sidewalks in many cases are structured.
But maybe it may be some other solution to kind of create a safer environment. I don't know what the solution is, but given the restrictions, there's
because we did do a series of planters along the perimeter where we could structure them.
Yeah.
There is actually trellises within that that don't show up well in this photo. The intent is there. I think it needs a refresh.
Yeah.
And I believe in the prior design review for Ulta, there were some contained planters.
Yes.
That were put along, as you can see there.
Yeah, see, that's pretty dismal, though.
I mean, yeah.
Anyway, that's just a note from my own personal experience.
I just wanted to say I really want it to be great, and I want to help you. I don't want to hinder you.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But some of us who've been in town, I guess all of us for so long, have seen a lot of people try, and it's not worked. And so I really want it to work because I think it's a really critical move for this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Really critical. You got in at the right place at the right time. This is going to be an extremely hot district. And
this combined with the Lloyd blocks.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just it's all up.
How many
from
blocks
here.
Is this? I mean, is this like 6 or 8 blocks? Large, like and then there's others 4 blocks, and you got 12 blocks of transformation.
So, you know, I'm trying to think with you. I'm not trying to stop you.
Right. And that's, as Bill alluded to, that's why we're here very early. Obviously, there's not a lot of detail here yet.
Yeah.
And while we've gone out and done the focus groups and met with stakeholders, because we understand that it's a critical juncture and a great opportunity, we're thrilled to be a part of it.
I think the I'm going to just say magical urban spaces are the ones that are durable and long lasting, somehow inviting at the same time. You know, there's this tension between them seeing being at a human scale and being warm, but being really really durable and really really long lasting. And there's and I think, you know, you've heard it, the concern about what's in the touch zone and how long-lasting it might be. And, you know, whether or not a green wall really works. A green wall is still just a blank wall, you know, so is that
I like to think of it as a vertical vase because that's what it is.
Yeah.
Switch out plants so often.
Right. Oh. Vertical base. Oh, so there you go. Yeah.
Well, I'll add, you know, owning, we're very concerned about that too, because we own it long term, and right. And I've got my director of operations sitting back here, and he doesn't want to have to. It's been duly noted that we need to be sure that maintenance is achieved. So we're on the same page.
Okay.
The other couple of things just about the Lloyd Center that I've noticed is lately there's just a smell of mold everywhere inside, and it just seems, I don't know what's going on, if it's in the carpets or what's happening, but it's been really strong. And there just is, seems like oddly very few restaurants in the mix. There's just the food court. And I don't know how much that plays into it, just like what the mix of tenants is.
It plays a tremendous amount. I mean, and part of those market surveys and that we've pulled up, and that's what we're trying to achieve here. We anticipate having more restaurants, especially on the exterior street side.
I can remember when there was only just an Orange Julius, so it's like, it's amazing now.
I've eaten at Stanford's a whole lot.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
And the Carmel Corn Place.
And in the master plan, it'd be interesting just to see, because you have to do residential to the east of 15th, right?
I mean, it has to have a residential component to it. It can be mixed use. It could be retail, office, parking, residential.
Because that S curve has always driven me nuts, and the dead end coming off of.
You want them to straighten it out?
I think it'd be interesting to bring 15th back through in a master plan. I think it would actually make the mall work better to not be kind of separated by this dead zone, especially if that was a mixed-use project on the west or in the east.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden that facade would actually work really well not be kind of isolated. And I think that whole area around the theater and everything would work better because that's where the energy goes, and then you're in a dead-end parking lot. And it's just very, very odd coming down 15th, because 15th is where all the energy comes from Irvington. And then it has to kind of split off and do odd stuff. And I think that could all be collected right into the mall if that was brought back through. Because right now it's just kind of all that energy coming out of Irvington skirts the mall. So it'd be good to bring it back through. But,
okay, so.
Yeah.
We have been talking about a lot of really big things, really far up 10,000 feet things, which I think is valid because I feel like that's where we want to enter the conversation. We have, and there have been scant little said about the improvements they are talking about here. So I want to ask this commission, is it, can we talk about these things, or do we feel like we can't because we feel like we don't have the big picture?
Can we talk about what's impacting? I feel like I don't have the big picture, and that these things have leapfrogged the context and the informing of decision making based on what this master plan information we're talking about has to say.
Right.
You may all have that, and it sounds like you do have quite a bit of it, ingrained in your process. We need to get on board there too and see that and understand it to be able to give you thoughtful input on some of these other topics.
Right.
Otherwise, I think we're kind of spinning our wheels.
I think we hit on some.
I think we pretty directly.
I think we have there's been a little bit of a concern about the wood and green wall for maintenance and its kind of fashion durability, I guess. There's comment about the south or the Multnomah entry that you've shown that's really very modernist and great. Somebody want to weigh in about scale or something like that?
The sign issue. So there is a sign issue, and one of the things I was thinking, the logo is lovely, but the way to solve that problem and not have to worry about the over 100 square feet is to make the logo smaller. And it really, what people need to see is it says Lloyd Center, and I think the logo is great. But so the way signs work in Portland is they draw a box around the whole thing. So it starts with the height of that logo, and then it just goes all the way across. And you have all that lovely white space around your letters, and it's just counted as part of the sign. So, and the idea is that, you guys 10 years from now sell to somebody else who's less conscientious, and then they can put, 2-foot L's on there that say Lloyd Center, all of a sudden fill the whole 100 square feet with a lit box or whatever. And so there we are. We have it. So... so there's some ways to adjust that sign to probably get yourself adequate
beacon to people and get closer to the square foot that it needs to be.
So I guess it'd be good, but what's the goal of, I mean, it's to draw people in and give a brand, right? A brand. Anything besides that? I mean, and how?
Are you going to re-tenant to fit a brand or?
Well, obviously the mall's 97% leased, yeah. But, you know, we want to make sure that we're getting the right tenants in there, tenants that the market demands, mm-hmm. Restaurants for sure. Obviously, we're getting the Nordstrom space back, so we're going to have to re-tenant that, and whether that's one large tenant or several mm-hmm. tenants, we're, you know, that's what we're trying to work through to create the tools to go attract those type tenants. So there is definitely a significant re-tenanting process. That's 130,000 square feet that we're getting back. So, yes, it's to do this. Again, it's the value add. We think the mall can do better by creating this place. And we appreciate the feedback, taking this and going back and doing a better job of showing the whole vision that will attract more tenants and backfill space that we're getting back.
And that's what's so great that you're here. I mean, I think that the mall is already 97% leased. It's not a distressed property.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so I want to encourage you to, I'm encouraged by you being here, and I'm encouraged by the moves you're making. And, you know, go for it and make it this really lovely part of the neighborhood. I mean, I think it's got so much potential.
Yeah. It's 90%, but I think it's underachieving. It's, you know, you look at sales per square foot, and it does fine, but could it be much better? Absolutely. And you've got the bones, you've got this park across the street, you got all this new apartments, you got this neighborhood but we can't keep them all in these existing condition. We have to do something to it. And that's what we're trying to do, and we'll work on, you know, that vision to create and take these notes and details and materials and things like that. So we really appreciate taking the time this early in the process.
I agree, and on that note, and you may be aware, I'm sure your studies are proving this out, but there's been kind of an economic shift in Portland in the last 15 years where a lot of the wealth from the west side is moving to the east side. So it's interesting, when you lose Nordstrom's, I don't know exactly why that happened, but it surprised me a little bit. And as you see now, you're kind of left with, and I don't want to demean your property, but kind of B's and C's tenants. But I think my personal opinion of Irvington and Alameda and the neighborhoods that are surrounding this now, mm-hmm. the income has gone up considerably in the last 15 years. So I think this mall could actually be much higher end than it is. That's my opinion, just based on. And I think it's held in arrears from the development around it just because of the perception of it generally. I think people stop going, the people that, you know, in my whatever circle, stopped going to this mall 10 years ago for a number of reasons. But I don't think that's necessarily should be the case anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the rebranding and the overall picture and the how it fits into the neighborhood, I think you guys could double your rental income on this mall. I mean, I know nothing about malls, but I know.
can I get you to sign off on that?
Exactly, but I guarantee you.
Yeah.
No, but I just say that it's an anomaly now. It used to be part of a, you know, not the best neighborhood, but now it's holding down the neighborhood. It's interesting. It's like now it should be a higher level overall tenancy that I think you guys. So I think you bought a great property, and I think that it will fulfill the aspirations of being a higher market, and particularly while Waterleaf upgrades it. I mean, I think it's...
And you're going to do all your shopping there.
And I'll start shopping there again. If you can get rid of the mold smell.
Got it written. Dennis?
That was Jane. I don't know.
She's telling you your building is leaking. That's what she's telling you.
I think you can tell from our reaction. We're just really excited.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
It has been a drag on the neighborhood for so long. And, it'll be interesting to see what you come up with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great asset.
Okay. I know this is a, I don't know, do you feel like you're walking away with something you can work with you guys, staff,
people? How do you feel?
Good.
Yeah, I'll prompt this. You're welcome to come back. When we do DARs, we often will do one or two. And
generally speaking, depending on how shell-shocked the customer looked, leaving from the first one, we invite them to come back to the second one. Okay. It's a part of this process. I think to the degree that if we should huddle, Stacy will put together some comments. I certainly have a lot of ideas in my mind. And doing a follow-up meeting and debrief. Make sure, we're all on the same page for the direction. Because in the end, we want you to come back to this commission when you do come forward with a land use review. At least that we're all on the same page. So you have a, you can move straight forward. So now might be the time to just, do you have any final comments or concerns, or heard enough and really want to huddle with your team, and we'll talk later about returning if you want to.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think this has been very helpful, as I said, and let us round back up, and would certainly love the opportunity to sit down with you and your team and hear those ideas and take it to the next steps.
All right. Great. Good work.
Thank you.
Right, thanks for being here. I don't have any items of interest.
That's it. If I did, I left them with the clerk.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Thanks. That's my top item of interest at this moment.
Upstairs. Okay. Thank you. See you guys later.